Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 38 degrees here in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Leanne Akers.
And I'm Ellen Barnett.
We are ready to show America how this can and will be done. And many other states will follow. It will soon become the standard and the norm.
Kentucky is the first state that could require Medicaid recipients to work in order to receive benefits.
State health officials are reporting 2 pediatric deaths because of the flu.
Eastern Kentucky residents have to cut travel plans short this weekend.
The Senate has approved a bill updating the state's election cycle.
1,400 homes in Martin County are facing nightly water outages.
In sports, MSU heads to UT Martin for hoops action tomorrow.
Bud Luke has the stock report.
Rain showers turning to sleet and snow tonight. Stay tuned for an extended weather forecast after this news.
Governor Matt Bevin's plan to update Kentucky's Medicaid requirements has been approved by the Trump administration. The proposed change will require Kentuckians between the ages of 19 and 64 to complete 80 hours of, quote, community engagement per month to keep their benefits. Community engagement includes getting a job, going to school, taking a job training course, and community service. Governor Bevin announced his plan yesterday.
The idea that we should just keep doing what we're doing is an insult to the people of Kentucky. It's an insult to those for whom a better opportunity is available and possible. Kentucky is the first state in the nation for the most transformative entitlement reform that has been seen in a quarter of a century nearly in this country. Why? Because Kentucky is ready.
Bevin says the requirements will save taxpayers over $300 million, but also estimates about 95,000 people will lose their coverage. Kentucky Democratic Party Chair Ben Self is strongly opposed to Bevin's plan, saying, quote, "The last thing we should be doing is removing access to health care, particularly in Kentucky," end quote.
Kentucky health officials are reporting the state's first pediatric flu deaths. Acting Department for Public Health Commissioner Jeffrey D. Howard said in a statement on Friday that 2 of the state's 36 flu deaths so far have been children. The agency did not release further information about the juveniles. It is said that the average age for adults who have died from the flu is 75. Howard said the deaths are a reminder of how dangerous the flu can be for younger and older populations. He recommended people take precautions to avoid getting the virus. If people do get sick, health officials recommend seeking medical advice and limiting contact with others. Officials say the flu continues to be widespread in Kentucky.
Eastern Kentucky residents may have to cut short any travel plans for the weekend. The National Weather Service predicts freezing rain to be hitting the area tonight, coupled with cold temperatures. Bad weather may extend past the weekend. Meteorologist Kevin Sullivan is with the National Weather Service in Jackson.
Sunday morning lows are probably going to start out in the teens as well, and probably get warm up into the 20s on Sunday. Sunday night still looks cold, maybe even some single digits, especially for areas that get the snow cover. So it looks like it's going to stay cold into at least the early portion of next week. There is another clipper system that's going to hit the area Monday afternoon and Monday night, and that could bring another light coating of snow to the area.
Sullivan says as for tonight's forecast, the rain will quickly turn to freezing rain and sleet, which will then turn to snow. The region can expect to see 2 to 4 inches overnight.
As that winter storm continues to move our way, several flights in and out of the Bluegrass Airport are being canceled. According to LAX 18, the flight status board already says 8 flights have been canceled and 5 have been delayed. Airlines are encouraging travelers to keep checking the status of flights if you are planning on flying in the upcoming days.
The Kentucky Senate has endorsed a proposal to award constitutional protections for crime victims, giving them a greater voice during their assailants' criminal proceedings. Senators voted 34-1 Wednesday to pass the proposed constitutional amendment called Marcy's Law. The vote came on the same day that a woman told the Senate panel the judicial system failed her when it came to information about the men who killed her brother.
And I wasn't notified that some of the defendants were released from custody. And they began calling my home and threatening me and my family. They had gotten my phone number off of the police scanner.
The measure goes to the House. If it passes that chamber, it would be put before Kentucky voters in this November's election.
The Kentucky Senate has approved a bill updating the state's election cycle. Republican Chris McDaniel is a sponsor of the measure that would require elections for Kentucky's governor and other statewide offices to coincide with presidential elections.
The principles remain the same, and those are simply to simplify our elections, to save money for the Commonwealth and for our counties, and to improve voter participation.
Democrats argue that changing the cycle will only complicate the process and say the measure is merely a ploy to gain GOP advantage. The bill now moves to the House.
Proponents of a new House bill say Kentuckians are, quote, begging for an alternative to opioid painkillers. House Bill 166 was filed Wednesday by Fleming County Representative John Sims. Secretary of State Allison Lundgren Grimes held an event in Frankfort Thursday appealing to legislators to vote in support of the bill. She says the stories she has heard as part of the Medical Marijuana Task Force were gut-wrenching.
Today is a real gut check for every member of the General Assembly. Will they stand up for the citizens of Kentucky, or are they merely going to sit in silence? Time not only to give hope, but to give help to so many people across the state.
Lundgren Grimes says states that have legalized marijuana for medical purposes have seen a 25% decrease in opioid overdoses over time. We'll have more of your region's headlines right after this.
Support for MSPR is provided by Gateway Radio, serving Rowan and surrounding counties with WKCA at 97.7 FM. All the programming of WKCA, classic country music, news, and more are available worldwide on WKCARadio.com. Apps available for both your Apple and Android devices. WKCA proudly supports Morehead State University and Morehead State Public Radio.
The Federal Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives says there's a $5,000 reward for information leading to the arrest and conviction of those responsible for stealing guns from a Western Kentucky retailer. A statement from the ATF says the guns were stolen Tuesday from Whitaker Guns in Owensboro. The statement says at least four people were involved in the theft of an unknown number of firearms. Davies County Sheriff's Major Bill Thompson told the Messenger Inquirer that between 40 and 50 firearms were taken. Anyone with information about the theft can contact the ATF or the Owensboro Area Crime Stoppers.
A man has been charged with arson and burglary following an incident on Eastern Kentucky University's campus. WBON reports that the fire took place at the Begley building connected to the football stadium. Multiple people were brought in for questioning by authorities. The fire was quickly put out and was reportedly small. No structural damage was sustained. 19-year-old Kenneth Smallwood was charged with third-degree burglary as well as third-degree arson in connection with the case.
Lexington police are searching for a man who robbed a pharmacy with a rifle. According to WKYT, the suspect stole medication from the CVS on Old Todd's Road around 1 a.m. today. Investigators say they do not have a good description of the suspect.
Phone scammers are posing as Kentucky Power employees, threatening to disconnect a customer's power if a payment is not made. However, EKB News reports Kentucky Power officials say they will never call to demand an immediate payment. Allison Barker is corporate communications manager.
They're using spoofing apps. They're using spoofing software to hide their actual phone number that they're calling from and to mimic a Kentucky Power, an AEP, American Electric Power phone number. We will never call customers and demand immediate payment in cash or a debit card, a prepaid card.
Barker recommends immediately hanging up on the scammers and calling local law enforcement.
More than 1,400 customers of the Martin County Water District are facing nightly outages. WYMT reports a state of emergency was declared Wednesday night. That night, during an emergency Martin County Fiscal Court meeting, Gary Michael Hunt was cited for disorderly conduct, but says he won't stop voicing his opinion.
The bottom line is, kids have to bath. You got to have water. And, I mean, you can't drink it.
Hunt's court date is set for February 26th. Martin County Judge Executive Kelly Callahan says he hopes to see the water issue fixed in the next 2 weeks.
The trial dates for a former Eastern Kentucky disability attorney charged in a multi-million dollar Social Security fraud scheme have been pushed back significantly. WKYT reports Eric Singh Khan has been appointed a public defender after he could no longer afford to pay his attorney. Willis Coffey will now represent Khan, but trial dates have been pushed back to give him time to prepare. Khan's trial for his escape from home detention was originally set for February, but is now pushed to June. The trial on the 18-count indictment for fraud has no concrete date, but the judge predicts it will be a year from now.
Kentucky Power has made a sizable donation to an organization that aids the elderly and low-income families. EKB News reports the company awarded a $50,000 grant to the Christian Appalachian Project on Thursday. KY Power President Matthew Satterwhite says he feels a responsibility to give back to his customers.
We have some of the poorest counties in the country in our territory, and we feel a responsibility to do what we can to take care of that. We have to run our utility business to make sure we have safe, reliable service. But on the other side, we're neighbors. We're a corporate partner. And we saw a gap, and so I acted quickly to make sure I could do anything I could do to fill that gap, and that's what this is.
Satterwhite says the Christian Appalachian Project will help upgrade housing for low-income families affected by winter weather.
The city of Moorhead could see a new recreational addition to its park. Mayor Jim Tom Trent announced Monday that plans for a splash pad in City Park are currently in development. The city pool has been closed for nearly 4 years due to structural issues. Trent says the details are still being buffered out.
We're looking at about a $600,000 project. It's about 5,500 square feet, 500 gallons of water per minute. This is just on the one we looked at as an example. And it looks like fiscal court is looking at partnering with us on that, which will help us.
Trent is hopeful that this will attract more people to visit the city. Moorhead Tourism has already committed $250,000 to the project.
Moorhead State University will be celebrating the life and legacy of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. next week. The events are sponsored by the Office of Student Activities, Inclusion, and Leadership, or SAIL. Events include a memorial walk, a photography and literature exhibit, documentaries, presentations of Dr. King's speeches, and a special interactive activity. Associate Director of SAIL, Shannon Colvin, describes how the interactive I Have a Dream board will work.
We'll have a board there and post-it notes, and so people can stop by and write what their hopes and dreams of a better future for our country and our world are. And then we're going to take those responses and do some campaign poster campaigns and social media campaigns throughout the rest of the semester, highlighting the good things that's coming from the life and legacy of Dr. King.
All the events are open to the community. More information about the week's activities can be found by calling Shannon Colvin at 783-2071.
Moorhead State University is encouraging its faculty and staff to remember that it has weathered through storms before. President Dr. J. Morgan addressed the group Wednesday during convocation, a faculty and staff meeting to mark the beginning of the spring semester. During his speech, Morgan echoed the words of Adrian Doran, who was president of MSU in 1971.
I'm not here today as we walk through this to project a mood of sheer pessimism. And I'm not here to project sheer optimism. I'm here, hopefully, to paint a picture to all of you, the realism that we're under, but knowing that we're going to be fine and we're going to push on.
Morgan says universities across the state are scrambling because of a bleak outlook in Frankfurt, but Moorhead State is in great shape moving forward.
Taking a look at the weather forecast for the WMKY listening area tonight, there's a 100% chance of precipitation, a wintry mix including freezing rain and snow, accumulation between 1 and 3 inches, and temperatures around 15. Tomorrow, partly cloudy skies with highs around 22. Tomorrow on Saturday night, partly cloudy, lows around 5. Sunny on your Sunday with highs around 23 and mostly cloudy Sunday night with lows around 13. It is currently 41 degrees in Ashland, 52 degrees in Inez, 37 in Maysville, 36 in Flemingsburg, 35 in Winchester, and it is 38 degrees here on the campus of Morehead State University.
On our feature segment today, commentator John Modaff wonders if we can value much desired things, which seem to be opposite.
In communication theory, there's a branch that concerns relationships. Relationships are said to be made of communication, and the inverse is also assumed to be true, that relationships, and the desire for them, motivate much of our communication. In one relational communication theory, the world of relationships is defined to entail sets of opposing values. Couples are always facing tension between the poles of such dichotomies as independence versus dependence and individuality versus collectivism. Couples work out how to travel between the poles, defining what I has to do with we, and how much the decisions of one should have to do with the wishes of the other. This is relationship, or so avers the theory. Keeping this theory in mind, what social dichotomies do we struggle with as a public? And are things that we presume to be of value related in a dichotomous way or some other way? For example, are equality and diversity opposites or neighbors? Insofar as equality values the sameness of us and diversity celebrates our differences, they appear to be polar opposites. But when we look at what motivates them both, fundamentally they begin in the same place, the desire for fairness. The difficult thing about dichotomies is that often the polar opposites are both desirable. Consider two of our most valued states of relationship and individuality, that is, equality and diversity. Equality concerns the measure of one person against another, or rather next to another. Equality we love. And diversity is the recognition of individual differences. The emphasis is on difference, seemingly the opposite of equality. So are we forced to choose between equality and diversity? Or is there some room for both in the same mind at once? And even more vexing, can we legislate equality when nature does not mete it out? Can we at times overemphasize diversity to a point where this value becomes degrading to equality? This is the challenge of our shifting stance between the poles, to value both our sameness and our differences without turning these things or ourselves into opposites. I'm John Modaff.
Dr. John Modaff is a professor of speech at Morehead State University. It's 4:48 and 38 degrees here on the campus of Morehead State University. I'm your Mountain Edition host, Leanne Akers, here with Ellen Barnett, and we're so glad that you've joined us on this Friday afternoon. Tilden Johnson has sports right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from The Bakery on Main, next to Pasquale's on East Main Street in Morehead. The Bakery on Main prepares made-from-scratch breads, cakes, pies, tarts, and cookies. Glazed, cream, and fruit-filled donuts made fresh Monday, Friday, and Saturday. Catering for weddings, birthdays, bridal, and baby showers. Open Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 7 p.m., and Saturday, 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. Orders by phone at 606-783-0101 and online at thebakeryonmain.com.
The Eagles are on the road again. Reporting for WMKY Sports, I'm Tilden Johnson. The Morehead State men's basketball Eagles lost last night to Southeast Missouri 78-75. A.J. Hicks led the Eagles with 21 points. Morehead was down by 6 at the half, but couldn't seem to get ahead. Coach Preston Spradlin says the Eagles just couldn't get things done.
We dug that hole. We turned the ball over. We had 10 of them in the first half, and that led to their points. Off turnovers were the big margin in the game, especially in the first half. But you know, to the guys' credit, they came out. They fought harder. They did some good things, and they were down 9 at half and came back and took the lead at one point, and we weren't able to execute against it.
The 4-12 Eagles travel to UT Martin tomorrow night for more OVC action. Tip-off is at 7.
The Morehead State women's basketball team is riding high following last night's 59-56 win over Southeast Missouri. Ariel McKee's shot as time expired gave the Eagles the win. MSU now visits UT Martin on Saturday. Head coach Greg Todd says it's going to be another challenge for his team.
No question, they are an extremely skilled team, very tall, very tough opponent, and we'll have our work cut out.
MSU is 12-6 on the year, while UT Martin is 7-10. Both teams are 3-2 in OVC play. The Kentucky basketball team hits the road tomorrow when they visit Vanderbilt. At 13-3 on the year, Coach John Calipari is still preaching toughness to his team, but he says he can see them improving with each game.
Well, why would I settle for threes and perimeter shots? Because they're easier. That's young, and again, that toughness that we're looking for. But let me just say this. Where they are now, you have to admit PJ's not even the same player he was a month and a half ago, would you say? He's not even the same player. You're looking at Wenyan getting better. You're looking at Shea. No one knew. And it's all based on toughness.
Vanderbilt comes into the game at 6-10 on the year while riding a two-game losing streak. The Louisville basketball Cardinals are continuing conference play tomorrow evening with an ACC home game against Virginia Tech at 4. The 12-4 Cardinals are coming off of a 73-69 win at Florida State. Louisville has scored almost 220 combined points in three games, but Coach Dave Padgett says this is going to be a game that comes down to their defense.
You know, obviously we're coming off a very, very good win, but, you know, with that being said, we got to get ready for the next one because this is a team that came in here last year and made 17 threes on us and scored 90 points, and even though they've lost a couple of the guys that were a big factor in that, they're capable of doing it again with the way they play offensively. So our defense is going to have to be ready to go in all areas, and you know, they're a very potent offensive team, so we have a very big challenge at home tomorrow.
Last year, the Cardinals beat Virginia Tech 94-90. Lakeside Christian Academy in Moorhead is hosting a benefit basketball game this Sunday at the school on US 60. The game will feature a game made up of Lakeside alumni playing a team of WKYT TV personalities. David Patrick is helping coordinate the event.
The main anchor team, Sam Dick, Amber Philpott, Chris Bailey, and Brian Milam will be there, and then several other on-air personalities will be there. We are expecting to have a surprise guest, which we're not going to announce that, but it'll be a name very familiar with UK basketball fans. So we're expecting to have a good afternoon, hopefully a big crowd.
State Representative Rocky Atkins is also expected to attend. Tickets are $5 per person or $10 for a family pack. All proceeds from the event will go to the purchase of a new gym floor for the school. It's been a good month of January for the Kentucky football team, with linebackers Jordan Jones and Josh Allen, along with defensive lineman Denzel Ware and safety Mike Edwards, all turning down the NFL draft to return to UK for their senior seasons. Kentucky is expected to have a strong defense next year. Mike Edwards says with the players returning, he expects to compete for an SEC championship.
I feel like we, you know, biggest stage, you know, national championship, SEC championship, you know, you can't shoot for low. And if you shoot for low, you know, you're not going to achieve for the greatest. So I feel like shoot for championships and just trying to get the defense right. As far as the defense-wise, trying to get the defense right and play all together.
Kentucky will return 10 of its 11 starters from last year's defense. The Cincinnati Bengals now have a new defensive coordinator. Terrell Austin has spent the past 4 years with the Detroit Lions and will now coach the number 18 defense in the NFL. The Bengals produced 14 takeaways this past season. The Cleveland Browns have a couple of new faces on their coaching staff. Browns coach Hugh Jackson has hired a new wide receivers coach with former New York Giants wide receivers coach Adam Henry, as well as a new quarterbacks coach with former Bengals quarterbacks coach Ken Zampezi stepping into the position. The Browns are expected to use either their number one or number four overall pick in this year's draft to select a new quarterback. The Browns said the team has parted ways with quarterbacks coach David Lee, running backs coach Kirby Wilson, and that special teams coordinator Chris Tabor has left Cleveland to join Chicago's staff. And lastly in sports, Third baseman Josh Donaldson and the Toronto Blue Jays have agreed to a $23 million contract, the largest one-year deal for an arbitration-eligible player. Donaldson, who is a 2015 AL MVP, got a $6 million raise after rebounding from an injury-slowed 2016 to hit .270 last season with 33 homers and 78 RBIs in 113 games. Reporting for WMKY Sports, I'm Tolden Johnson.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Eagle basketball will host Jacksonville State on Thursday, January 18th. The women's game starts at 4 p.m. and the men tip off at 7 p.m. The men's game will also be televised by the CBS Sports Network. Tickets and information from the MSU Eagle ticket office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the National Offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing stock market report for WMKY. Stocks rose to record highs after some of the major financial companies in the U.S. reported strong quarterly earnings, and the Dow Industrials did finish with a gain of 228.46, finishing at a record high close of 25,803.19. The S&P 500 was up 18.68 at 2786.24, and the NASDAQ Composite was up 49.28 at 7261.06. And, of course, those are both record closing highs for the NASDAQ and S&P 500. And the S&P 500 itself has enjoyed its best 10-day start to a year since 2003. In the first 10 trading days of 2018, that index is up 4.2%, and it gained just under 6% back in 2003. J.P. Morgan, BlackRock, and Wells Fargo all reported better-than-expected quarterly results before the opening this morning, and J.P. Morgan was up 1.625%, while BlackRock was up 3.2%. Wells Fargo, however, did show a loss today of 0.75%. Recent data suggests the U.S. economy is picking up steam. The Labor Department said its consumer price index, excluding the volatile food and energy components, rose 0.3% last month, and that was the biggest advance in the so-called core CPI since January 2017. Treasury bond yields ticked higher following the data release and bond prices dropped. The two-year yield broke above 2% for the first time since September 2008, closing at 2.01%. In the commodities markets, oil was up 1% at $64.44. Gold was up 1.25% at $1,339.30 an ounce. Overseas in Europe, stocks were up today. The Stock 600 index finished with a gain of 0.3%. In Asia, stocks were also up, with the Shanghai Composite up 0.125%, and the Hang Seng index was up almost 1%. Among Dow industrial stocks, the best performers were Boeing and Cisco, while the worst performers were GE and IBM. In the S&P 500, the best performers were Viacom and Lowe's, and the worst performers were Aflac and American Waterworks. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Global up 40 cents at $74.14, Marathon Petroleum up $1.18 at $71.43, AEP down $1.26 at $67.47, AK Steel down 23 cents at $6.20, CSX up 56 cents at 59.25, and Community Trust Bank was up 15 cents to finish at 50.20. Reporting for WMKY, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
If you're in the market for a new car, van, or truck, don't trade it, donate it to WMKY. Donating is easy. Call 855-WMKY-CAR or online under the support tab at WMKY.org. Your vehicle will be picked up for free and receive a tax donation. Proceeds from selling your vehicle help support programming on WMKY. Donate today by calling 855-WMKY-CAR or online at WMKY.org.
There's a winter weather advisory in effect for the WMKY listening area until 12 a.m. on Saturday. It's currently 37 degrees here in Moorhead.
That's going to do it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Chuck Mraz, Arlo Barnett, Cody Robinson, Jacob Lindbergh, Tilden Johnson, Greg Jenkins, and Paul Hitchcock. KNN's Haley Hansen chipped in, and we had a call from Hilliard Lyons' Bud Luke. With our feature segment today, Moorhead State University's Dr. John Modath. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY Moorhead, and translator W202BHINES. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Ellen Barnett and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Leanne Akers for WMKY News. All Things Considered is coming up next. It's 5 o'clock.